I'll call the October 23rd Plan Commission order. Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
She's excused.
Commissioner Thinnes?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Commissioner Romeis?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
We have a properly noticed and a quorum. Thank you. Now please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
Item 3A, HOLLIE Inc., Housing of Limited Income Elderly Incorporated, Deerwood, Brentwood Park, excuse me, to vote. Yes.
Minutes of last meeting, please.
You guys are so good. Item 2A, a regular meeting minutes of Thursday, October 9th, in your packet. Any additions or corrections?
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Haley. So I got to Brentwood Park Development. Let's do Plan Development District Number 21, 69-unit senior apartment complex. Mr. Deedle.
Thank you. In the staff report, it reminds all of us that this matter was before us back on May 8th. Plan Commission at that time tabled it for the applicant to work with staff. There were some concerns expressed by the plan commissioners, primarily about the architecture. The applicant has worked with us, has prepared a number of updated versions. The latest one is before you tonight. As we did originally back in May, staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions. Staff again today is recommending approval with a number of conditions. Five of them from the first time back in May have been addressed. In that regard, it can be noted that they do have a shared parking and access easement agreement with the adjacent property. That was one of the conditions. They have submitted a lighting plan. They have updated. Oops, I should be looking at my cheat sheet to be sure. They did add a third building material. They did verify that they are using cement siding. And they did provide fully functioning balconies. So those were the five conditions from the original staff report that they have addressed. Based on some of the changes they've made or have not been able to make from the original approvals, a couple of our conditions have changed or new ones have been added. Examples in that regard would be new ones added would be fully submit a revised set of plans prior to building permit where all the plans are consistent with one another. For instance, they've made most of the changes that they've agreed to in these latest versions on the elevations, but they didn't reflect those on the site plan. There are a couple things on the elevations, for instance, that are clear. So all those things would have to be clarified before a building permit. So that would be an example of one of the new conditions. Some of the revised conditions pertain to the architecture, and that's what most of the conditions are in relationship to, are the architecture. Some instances, they've partially addressed a previous concern. So, for instance, they've added more utility brick to some portions of the elevations, but on the ends and in the bump-outs, we wanted them, or staff is recommending that the brick be brought all the way to the top. So those are the changes or examples of the changes, and we can walk through them. As usual, all the conditions that staff is recommending are in the ordinance. The suggestions that we've had from the prior staff report and this one are not in this ordinance, draft ordinance. If the Plan Commission would agree with any of those would have to be added to this draft ordinance. The most significant one, and I should mention a couple of those suggestions had been addressed as well. Two examples of those would be that they did change the number of units in the building from the originally proposed 69 units to 64, and they also did do that cross-access easement agreement with the adjacent property owner. Probably the most significant one is the suggestion that they reduce the height of the building on the ends from 3 stories to 2. So again, if the Planning Commission wished to require any of those or recommend any of those to the council, those would have to be added to the ordinance. So briefly, I'd want to mention most of the conditions, most of the staff report is focusing on the architecture. That was most of the discussion at the Planning Commission last time. There were a couple changes to some of the other plans, only two of any note. One is they did provide a new updated wetland delineation on the Natural Resource Protection Plan. One of the conditions that we still have is an updated Natural Resource Protection Plan. That would address part of that condition. Another part is we still need them to accurately show the shoreline buffer. That shoreline buffer is based on an ordinary high water mark, and they don't have that shown on their plans either. My concern that I've expressed before is, to the best of my ability, based on their plans, they do show what's called a top of bank. An ordinary high water mark sometimes is the same as the top of a bank, not always. If it would be in this instance, they would be too close. They would be inside the shore buffer, and that's not allowed. So it is critically important they get that information to verify that this building is located entirely outside of protected natural resources. That is one of the conditions that we have in the draft ordinance. The other thing to note, another significant change in one of the other plans worthy of note, is that we did get that lighting plan. That was one of the conditions that we had before. So if there's anything you would like to go into more detail, I'm more than willing to. As I mentioned, all the conditions are listed in Section 2 of the draft ordinance, and the applicant is here as well if we have any questions.
So we have two decisions to make under this agenda item tonight. One is as to whether or not this particular use application is either a minor amendment to the plan development district.
Correct.
Or a major amendment. And there's things that happen if it's determined if it's a major amendment. Then the other decision is to as to whether this is an appropriate change to that plan development district. And you highlight some 20 concerns. Is that correct?
Yes.
I will, the applicants here, good evening. Thank you for coming. I took a look at these drawings when I first got them, and you may recall that I was one of the big proponents of breaking up the roof line and improving the rear exposures. And with these drawings, I had a difficult time. And by the way, I do this for a living, or I used to do this for a living, so I know how to read drawings. I had a difficult time understanding exactly what we were really getting. The Plan Commission is charged with a subjective judgment as to whether this is a minor or a major amendment. I need some more convincing, because what we had here before, when the original PDD was designed, was a very upscale 60-some-odd unit assisted living for persons of means. With large units, it was, as I recall, a 4-story building, smaller footprint, with much more exterior amenities, but a substantially heightened architecture. And after our last meeting, frankly, I was looking for something more dramatic in terms of changes. And I understand the market you want to be in, but the Plan Commission and the planning staff's job is to look out for the character and the development of our community in a manner that meets the community's needs and desires. And, well, I would have liked to see some more dramatic changes in the exterior design, but that's my personal opinion. On the matter of whether this is a minor amendment or a major amendment, I'm looking for opinions from the commission and then an action item. Is that what you'd like to see, Joe?
Yes. If I could mention the difference between the major and minor typically is if it is a change of use or a change of the boundary, then that's a major amendment. It's still senior housing, a different type of senior housing that was previously approved. We didn't think that was a significant enough difference to qualify as a change of use. So that's why it would qualify as a minor amendment. But it is the Plan Commission's decision. And then if that was decided to be a major amendment, the project would have to stop at this point so that a public hearing notice could be provided to the newspapers. And then a public hearing would be held in front of the Plan Commission. And then that information, along with what they've already given us, would go to the Common Council.
By the way, a motion or an action that says this is a minor amendment does not approve the change to the PDD.
Correct.
It's just that determination. Based on what I believe is the criteria, and is also the change of road layout or something like that, would that also...
That could potentially trigger, yes.
Yeah, and
that's not the case here.
Based on the criteria as I perceive it, I would make a motion that this would qualify as a minor modification.
Second that. 21.
So, yeah. Motion on the table. That's been seconded to approve as a minor amendment. Any discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On the next matter, as to the changes to the PDD, which relate to the ordinance that you have in your packet, the drawings you have in your packet, the artist's rendering. Aside from my other concerns, I will say that I do have a concern that the drawings don't match the documents. And apparently, in staff's opinion, they're not complete. I'm never comfortable bringing half an item to the County Council. But that's my statement. Comments? Comments from the Commission? Commissioner Thames?
I agree with you there as far as the drawings go, that there's a lot of stuff here. When I was looking through here, that I was having trouble understanding. I know they've changed the material at the bottom of the building to a what looks like, and I'm not sure what it is, but because I'm not familiar with the product, but it looks like it's some kind of a manufactured stone. I think maybe the representatives need to...
Gentlemen, if you'd like to come to the front table, we're short of light.
It's a Telstar stone.
Could you, before we do that, name and address for the record?
My name is Bob Schultz, 22701 West Buck Court, Portland, Oregon.
Pat Becker, 3311 West Medlin Road, Medlin, Wisconsin.
Nick, do you know the microphone?
Kevin Nicodell. I'm in 2860 Division Road in Jackson, Wisconsin.
Welcome, Kevin.
And what other representation here?
Ken Becker is the owner's rep.
Okay.
Nick is the civil engineer, and I'm the director.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, Alderman.
Commissioner.
But for the record, Mayor, what the senior housing project that was previously approved was 80 units. It had no private balconies. It had no common balconies. It had no basement parking. It had no parking easement, and it included approval of a building that had no brick on two sides, just for the record. And I don't have those documents with me, but for the record, that was what was previously approved. As it relates to the product that we're using for the exterior, it's actually a Wisconsin-made product. It was 99% of material that is made in Wisconsin at the CalStar plant. And while the CalStar representative isn't here, he did pay a visit to the planner with the product, presented the product to the planner at that time. At that time, there was no objection to the product. staff report is well received. And we think it was well written, and we have no objection. We've struggled between staff trying to add elements that were part of what was previously approved, some of the things that were previously approved, which we don't appreciate as much. And the direction where we want to go. So the design that you see is kind of a blend of that, kind of a compromise between what staff had recommended, what group and the direction we're trying to pull. And we recognize that that's part of the process and hope that we did look at adding brick to the project. We looked at it at all brick, we looked at it being 75% brick, and we'd be happy to go back and really take a harder look at adding and brick and some of the other recommendations that staff made. And we're confident that we can address those issues.
Okay. My concern, this is a manufactured stone then that's applied as a veneer over board foundation or a block foundation? Is that
no? This is often used as a brick veneer, just in, as it is now. And if you'd like, what we could ask is, and I'm not, and I wish I could speak more intelligently, but the bottom of the units are an 8x24 foot face. They call it a facing unit, and that was the third material that was added. The upper units are utility size brick, or lack of a better word, but I wasn't here when the Telstar representatives came. I did ask them to come and make a special presentation.
Joel, what you saw as the product, was it like it's a manufactured masonry unit that has like a split face to it, or?
Yeah, they make it in larger blocks.
Uh-huh.
It's easier to install, it's lighter weight. It can look like real brick or real stone, although they don't have very many stone options. Most of them are brick variations.
So it's similar to the block. It's similar to the skirting wall in the library.
It looks like it. I'm not sure if it's the same material, but okay. It does look like it.
Now, looking at these drawings, I know there's some areas where there's this shows like about three courses of that on these drawings, and there's a lot of places where the foundation below that area appears to be exposed but not covered with that stone.
What we typically try to do, it's a good question, what we typically try to do is step it in about 2 foot sections and try to get it within a reasonable distance to do it. So if at your pleasure you can specify that distance, but the two step increment is nominal dimension.
Okay, so this isn't a product where the manufacturer allows you to push grade up against it?
I don't think so.
Because there's a few areas on here, especially at the entrance garage, where you're going to have some pretty serious grade changes and pretty serious areas of exposed foundation. There appears to be a couple of doors to the trash rooms or something on that lower level, and that appears to be an all exposed foundation in that area.
And I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. It wasn't big.
Okay, that's intended to be, I'm talking about this area right in here.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you brought that to our attention, and that's, and we'll address that into the set of drawings.
Okay. The other area that I looked at here was on the back sides or the front sides of the building. This area seems to be embellished with several pieces of horizontal wood timber in here. And this other one isn't.
You raised a good point, and the staff brought up the same point. I think the staff recommendation was that we would emulate the same timber framing that we have on the front entrance at all the gable ends, and Rabbit were receptive to that as well.
So these will have the timbers and the little cross struts and
that
up in the eave area?
Where we're struggling, is really with any, if there was anything that we struggling, it's just the amount of brick. And so we will come back and we will show the brick up to the third story on these ends. We'll show the heavy timber elements on those gable ends, just as staff had recommended. And one of the things we would like to not do is extend the brick where the two common balconies are. We would prefer not to do that, but if the commission insists on it, obviously we'd be happy to do that.
Okay, this set of plans here, apparently, just looking at this, what did you have before? Just railings up in front of the patio doors that were non-functional balconies, or?
Yeah, they were called false balustrades. We used them before, false balustrades, yes. And now they're fully functional.
Okay, so these drawings haven't really been updated to show the functioning balconies because there's no depth of framing underneath the floors that would be the balconies.
That's correct. And the other change that we did make is we eliminated the patio doors, and now we have in-swing French doors. So the in-swing French doors will bring more of that outside in to the unit.
But you're going to have boxed-out framing underneath each one of these balconies.
Yeah.
Are you building soffits underneath there?
No,
or?
No. I think what we'd like to do is an all-aluminum balcony, an all-welded aluminum balcony. Now, we haven't worked out that detail yet. Done it before. We'd like to get through this planning commission and look at people who typically work those details out in the construction. But we'd like to have something that's maintenance free. Or I should say, Ken likes to have something that's maintenance free.
But it will be a boxed enclosed floor structure that's painted to match the siding.
Our client would prefer not to have paint because that's something that you have to maintain. In the past, what we've done, either it being steel, all steel and open, that has to be painted, or all aluminum and open. We can put a soffit on it. But that's something that requires some maintenance. But it's a good question, and we haven't gotten any depth of that. If the commission feels strongly that we should have a soffit on it, we can certainly put a soffit on it. It might help detailing the decking a little easier if you did that. But when you expose the framing, you really have to pay attention to what you're doing so close to.
Yeah, because this is the front of this building, which really is the back of the building, is very exposed to the two streets. It's right out on the streets. And, visually on the sidewalks out there, they're going to be able to look up underneath all of those balconies, hanging off the side of that building. The look, what it's going to look like up from underneath, because that's the vantage point everybody's going to get of that balcony, except the people standing on it. Everybody else's view is up underneath it.
Well, one thing we could do, we could put an aluminum soffit underneath there to match the soffit that we have, and it might be some of the detailing that we have, so we don't have to be so careful with the detailing technology. So we could do something like that that's making it screen and gives you a look at it.
The other thing I noticed on here was a reference to, and this I'm looking at the building, and it certainly looks in the renderings like you're using a cementitious horizontal siding. Because I saw a reference here at number 10 pointing to the high part on one of those gable corners that called out board and batten siding.
And the CAD guy just didn't press the right button.
Okay, there's no board and batten right here as far as sidings go. Okay. The only other notes I had were, you're doing brick.
Well, it's easy to do when you're back here.
Yeah, it's always his fault. It's always his fault. You're putting brick coins on the corners?
No, we haven't done that ever. If the core building was something that the commission feels important, we've never done it on lower levels. But
yeah.
If that's something they want, we need to put that on. We don't think that those things really are impediments to us finalizing the design. We simply struggled with staff trying to have our design emulate things that are out there, and we struggled with that, and we're kind of pulling in the opposite direction. Now we're at a point now where I think really the last remaining issue is, where's the brick, how high does it go, how high does it look, and the rest of the stuff that staff has recommended is well received and would be a matter of fact that we're just moving on.
Well, sometimes, running this brick up three stories and that, I'm one way or the other on that. You know, I think sometimes the, having the siding at the top adds some continuity with the rest of the horizontal line of the building, as opposed to bringing a brick all the way up. I'm not really one way or the other on that. I like the idea of the masonry coins up the corners, because that adds visual interest to an expansive mass of masonry. The other thing I like to see are horizontal precast silk lines, especially where your colors are changing, along that line to break and create a natural break line for the different colors of masonry, as opposed to just switching all of a sudden from one brick to the next.
Staff had recommended we go over with one color.
Suggested.
We actually agree with that recommendation. It would preclude us from still adding the that sill, but we agree with staff's recommendation on one color.
And the corners, is that?
Everywhere. Everywhere. So all those elevations that show the lighter brown on top would all be one color instead.
No, we agree with that, and we certainly also would like to add some material as it's suggested.
Okay, yeah, the sill material, and especially at the point where you transition from brick to siding.
Yes.
You know, some type of a 2.5-inch sill, precast sill line at that point that extends out and creates a grip edge beyond the masonry line, and also gives a point for the siding to be flashed off on.
Yes.
Alderwoman Mayer.
I just have a question regarding the roofing. The colors that are used in this, is this as close as?
Good point. Yeah, those aren't the right colors.
Okay. at all? Like not even close?
Sorry, not even all, not even close.
Okay.
All right. We want to use like a 25 inch shield with a shadow on it. We have selected as a certain shield. We have to be able to come color in the area.
Okay. And then those the things on those open patios, which I really like that. That looks really sharp. What is that?
We're just saying it's just going to be something simple.
Is it the siding from the?
Yeah, you're referring to the heavy timber.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would just use a rough sawn timber, and then we would stain it to match probably pretty much like what you see here.
Is the bottom going to be that white, that stark white?
That's a good.
The columns.
Yeah, if those were in from the beginning of the project, and they don't necessarily have to be, they could be the same color as other things. Is that something that you think would?
You know what? I don't know. I kind of like the pop, but I guess if it's not going to be that stark white, maybe it would be.
Yeah, well, I think. Yeah, it is. But you raise a good point about those colors. So we can go into it.
I like it. It adds something visual to it. I'm just interested in how it looks.
Yeah, we can go either way.
I think that the roof color's throwing me off big time.
Yeah, the roof color. The roof color is not right. Not right. It just.
Right.
I can offer you a suggestion.
Yes,
in the future, don't do this.
Oh, okay.
It's dramatic. It's drama I don't need. I got enough of that in my long life, so I Commissioner Thames.
Well, you're talking about the columns there. According to what I read somewhere in here, it was called out or specified out as a dry stacked masonry unit, which would be then different than what is at the base of the building, correct?
Well, it is one of staff recommendations to dry stack, and then obviously we prefer not to introduce the dry stack material. We prefer to have a nice cool stuff.
Okay, so a preference would be, if you want to say that color, would be to use the same thing you're using at the base of the building.
Correct.
or go to a brick with a precast cap where the wood comes off.
Correct.
Are you pointing or is it?
The reason why we like tool joints is because they're
a water rat.
Yeah. And particularly in Wisconsin with the freeze and the cloud.
Mr. Deal.
I was just going to say if it's the same material or same style as what's at the base of the building, that looks too much like a block. I think bricks, a brick pattern, or bricks would actually look better than a block pattern.
The other thing you can do is if they go down that low would be to put the base block around the bottom.
Yes.
And make it actually look like a massed column as it goes up.
Yes.
You'd have the base block at the bottom and then brick.
Yep.
And then if you have a trim band of precast in the brick, put that trim band around the column and then go up again. Mirror what's going on in the main wall of the building.
Yes, that sounds good.
You're going to get a bill for this.
I look this forward with the rest of them. You have to get in by the 23rd.
Alderman Mayor, I'm not sure. You get your hand up or not.
I just have one question I forgot to ask. The size of those balconies, how big are those again?
Yeah, they extend 24 inches, and there's some issues with extending them further due to the wetland and other site setback issues, so we kept them small. And that's the other reason why we added the front pins and French doors.
Okay, so 24 by?
Well, they're as wide as the existing French doors, so there's 6 feet. We did also add, these they show up on the drawings. The original set of drawings, our client asked us to leave the community garden. And so we added these horizontal flower pots, two flower pots on each of the concrete patios, and then also some by common patio. So there are also that particular feature. I'm not sure. But it did offset the
Mr. Deedle.
Although we were also recommending some enhanced landscaping with a pedestrian bend to it, so seating areas, some landscaping along the sidewalks, that kind of stuff.
This discussion was very good for us. We really experienced a good direction. We really appreciate this. I think this is another example where this feedback was a good part. There are sidewalks around three sides of the building, so when I talked with the landscape architect, there might be some areas where we could add some seating at that sidewalk at the drop off and there. But we're struggling with that north end. What to do on that north end? And Nick has alluded to some technical issues with that.
North end of the site or north end of the building?
North end of the site. And maybe there's some ways that we can put a path there, but I see the sidewalk there. I think from what Evan, I'm sorry, is telling me. It may be may not be technically feasible. But again, an additional sense of direction of how we should handle that, particularly that north end would be helpful for us right now.
What is the problem?
Well, specifically with the sloping and the wetlands, we're running the wetlands, I shouldn't say that. But specifically with the sloping in that area, we would have to somehow. Certainly would like to avoid the use of retaining walls and railings.
And one of the things I think that, Evan, did you bring up a possible art path back there or something like that? Is that
if it was a grass or a natural type of material, I guess then it would be like an ADA walkway or something like that, so that the rules are a little bit different. Walkway then, like I say, we're getting into where
Well, the staff's the voice of comments on the report, which were well received. We're just kind of looking for some direction because we've got the sidewalk along the three sides. We've got some ideas on how we can address some seating areas along the sidewalks near the roundabout. I think the biggest sense of direction is going to be with a path, would be a path acceptable on that mark now. Something that is maybe a hard path as opposed to a hard surface.
I don't know, do you really want to have that type of a path at a senior housing facility? You need to have hard, paved paths where people can maneuver their walking aids and stuff like that. It was, I believe staff made a recommendation to add a sidewalk around that end of the building out onto Brentwood Drive, is that, or Park Drive? But as I looked at these plans, you have several issues. You have number one is the clearance between the building and the parking area, the round loop. Now, I mean, you can move that curb enough to maybe fit that walkway up against the back of the curb. But once you get around that corner, you're dealing with some serious grade issues to get out to the road. You've got probably an 8-foot drop in grade coming around that corner of the building where it's going to drop down into that drive-in for the underground parking. And to get past all that stuff, and now you've got stairs, which really you don't want to have in a senior. If you can avoid them, it might be very difficult to do any kind of a pathway around there. But I know you also had recommendations to do amenities, what you called amenities, and I think the garden or were you saying some kind of seating?
He mentioned seating. Our suggestions were seating areas, benches.
Sitting areas.
Benches, that kind of stuff. In a more garden-like setting, trellises, arbors, those kinds of things. In addition, in complementing some enhanced landscaping. Because it is really tight, so there is no room for any one big thing. It'll have to be some interesting use of a tight space.
Now, in the discussion with the landscape architect, surmised that he could sketch some ideas and present them to Joel and see if there might be something that would be acceptable. Okay.
Commissioner, let's do Commissioner Fowler first.
Well, that's all right. I'll defer to that.
Well, he's already had his kick.
Oh, okay.
But not a good kick, guy. Get tired.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have a couple of concerns. One, I want to second what staff talked about, the ordinary high water mark. It's very possible, it's probably 90% sure that the top of bank is going to be close to that high water mark. But you definitely, that's a different definition than top of bank. It's how the DNR here defines it. I think that would definitely needs to be defined before I could agree to this. Second, I say this to everybody. I brought this up before. Lions Legend Creek does have a floodplain. In the next 2 years, our Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission will be doing new maps. There's new hydrology. Lions Legend Creek is a small creek, small watershed, but it's likely to go up anywhere from 5 to 13%. You're going to see an increase in the flow. How that impacts where that elevation is unknown. But you want to make sure when you put your building in here, now you're way out of the 100-year floodplain or the base flood elevation or the 1% probability floodplain, whatever you want to call it. So you look like you're in pretty good shape, but it looks like your elevation is going to be fine. But again, that water elevation, that flood elevation will be coming up. Because this is based on past data. It's relatively new data, but the new data coming out, the new hydrology, is probably going to make this flow go up. So I just wanted to caution you on that to be sure you have plenty of freeboard for that distance between where the flood elevation is and where the first floor elevation. And since you're going to have underground parking, it's where that lip of that parking lot goes down. You would hate to have the water get down into your parking structure. Don't think it's going to happen, but I just want to caution you on that. There'll be that change coming. And I think one of the things we pride ourselves here in Franklin is we have really strong environmental rules and regulations to preserve these types of systems. And Lions Legend Creek is one of our assets. It's a natural resource. I would encourage you on that north end to put some type of path in, to put some type of area where people could see, maybe a small wooden deck or something on top of that area to look out, because that is an environmental corridor. It was designated by sewer pack, I believe that's correct. I would
secondary.
I'll go back to staff. I think it's a secondary environmental corridor, and as it's a senior citizen home, is one thing. People go out and watch wildlife move back and forth on that creek, and so I think it would be something you might want to think about.
Mr. Romas.
Mr. Becker, have you talked to your neighbor, at the fire rink, as far as their needs? And, I mean, because there's some commonality here, in terms of parking, correct?
We've actually notified everybody. All the neighboring properties have been notified as well. At least notified each other. One of the neighboring properties was killed last night. We had communications with the fire rink yesterday that we're trying to deal with.
Right.
Short answer is yes. Just give me a while.
Mr. Deal.
Specifically, they have talked with the friary about the parking and access. I'm not sure how much about any amenities are, because your site is so tight. Is there something that you guys could jointly share?
Correct.
I'm not sure what we would jointly share. What we're just talking about is an area that you could walk to have a nature viewing area. That's fine. I think it's good. I would like to see a level of stairs and a solid surface rather than mulch. Whether that's a gazebo or a deck or whatever, that's fine. If they want to share that, I would not have a problem. They can share views on this. They have all insurance details.
And if I might add, one of the site constraints between the two buildings, between the friary and this building that had already previously been planned out, in the middle is that pond, is that basin that's there, and certainly we can't touch that. So in addition to the grade issues with going around the northwest, or the northwest corner of the building, the northeast corner of the building, we also have grade issues, and we certainly can't get into the pond and restructure the pond. So that's another issue with not only having a shared area for for like a common sitting gazebo area, but also having a walk through there. It doesn't lend itself to that type of amenity in this area.
Yeah, ADA is going to be difficult. Mr. Haley can speak to this too, but that 12-1 is for a very limited distance,
right?
Quite restrictive.
Right. So that's what we're really struggling with, on the north side of the building is, not only the walk and the access through there, but also with trying to put some amenity in there, which is there's only so much we can do. And again, as Bob had pointed out, we already reduced the number of units in this building to what had previously been planned. So we're really trying to make the most of this area and fit in with what had been previously planned.
That is one of the reasons for the common balconies and patios. It's still down to scale the spaces that are accessible.
With all those things said, though, your staff report is very focused. And we just struggle, we're going to be struggling with, and I really appreciate these comments, by the way, which is very helpful. It gives us a good sense of direction. I think we, for us, where the rubber is going to hit the road, really how much brick and roll we go up all the way, or what, and where these vanities are, and that sort of, and then let's get the colors right.
I'm looking at the plan side. Again, I'm not a landscape architect, so I'm going to defer to more people on the plan. But the, I don't know, I think we have one over here. I'm waiting for him to comment. He'll always tell me when I'm wrong. But the, I just spent 4 days with my father in Ann Arbor at a senior citizen home that has a small gazebo off over what for many people would have thought was just kind of just a wasted area, like a swamp. But more people are out in that area, including my dad, who goes out there when he just wants to just kind of relax. And the walkway to get there is kind of convoluted to get to it. But if they were able to make it, they have some of the same situations I think you have here with steep slopes off of one side of the building. They had people coming out the main entrance and walking quite a distance. And actually, some of the people prefer to walk some distance because sometimes it's the only exercise they're going to get all day. So I would really encourage you again, because this is one of the things we try to put into our buildings, these natural resource protection plans. We're protecting these resources for a reason. We want people to be able to appreciate them. So I'm just hoping you can figure out a way to do it. I'll defer to the landscape experts here.
Your comments are welcome.
All right.
We will do our best to try and address that.
And I've seen, I think as the mayor just mentioned, is the boardwalks have been used, but the one that they had there had a boardwalk and then a dolomite path that was not only a portion of it. They could get out to the stormwater pond. So some people could only get out to the end of the boardwalk. But they could still have a small seating area there where they could actually view the stormwater pond, which has the ducts. Then there was a dolomite path that went on to another area that looked off into a wooded area. So just something to consider. So they may not be able to get everything, all the benefits if they have some kind of mobility handicap, but they can get out. So I would encourage you.
I represent an owner that have no objection. I'm in agreement with you that, yes, we want to have various areas that they can be outside. Just want to reiterate, though, this is not a senior center.
Mr. Deedle, and then if the commission has no objections, Alderman Dandrea.
I was going to sort of ask a question of Kevin Haley. Is there a way to make the stormwater pond a visual amenity as well? Or is there too many constraints on it?
Commissioner Haley?
No, I was actually going to get there. I think one of the problems you've got is topography. You've got slopes that are very difficult to deal with. And maybe the idea is that you're not going to get a walkway that goes completely around the building, but maybe some landings, some elevated deck areas off the corner of the building close that can just give you a point to look out. A short section of sidewalk that just goes to a scenic overlook type thing. I don't think you're going to be able to overcome the grades, short of using a boardwalk or something like that, to physically make a connection out to Brentwood Park Drive. But on the north side of the building, you could have a small walk that goes out to a sitting area where people could just sit and watch birds and look out over this natural resource amenity. It would be part of the circulation. It would be a destination, a place to go. I'm looking at the grading plan here, and I don't see how you would get connectivity around the entire building short of having a elevated porch or a walkway. Can't walk around the entire thing. So I guess those are my thoughts on that. I think there's amenities you can do. I don't know that you're going to be able to loop this whole building and make that work. And to that end, getting back to the priory and the neighbors, there may be you could have a nice little sitting area out there that both could walk to. Again, you can avoid the steep slopes by staying up high on them and taking advantage of the views that you get.
And the stormwater pond? Is there anything that they could do with the stormwater pond to make it more visually appealing?
Oh, you mean the pond itself?
Yeah.
You should probably get the cattails out of it. It's not a native ecosystem. It's a detention pond, and those are probably even non-native cattails growing in there. There are things you can do. You're not really supposed to put fountains in them because the whole idea is to let the sediment settle out. I think native plantings around the edges, things that would encourage birds and butterflies and things to be a nice amenity. Spruce that up. Okay, go ahead. And then ultimately, I want to get back to the organizing.
Because I look at the drawings, and I could be wrong because I'm old and I can't read things that are this small anymore. But at that corner of the building, that being the northwest corner, there's the driveway. But it appears that the sidewalk is at the 787-foot mark. And if you follow that around, that goes around the hump at the north side of the building and swings around to the edge of the ponds. I'm just saying, maybe it would work. I'm just saying.
that's from not being able to read the numbers. I could be a mile off.
No, you're at 785 at the entrance to the parking structure below.
You're talking about this corner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, right here.
It's from that one
where the drive is.
That's a steep drop.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
Getting back again to the ordinary high, it sounds like that could potentially be an issue in terms of there might be an encroachment on the buffer depending where that is. I guess my question is, has somebody contacted the DNR to get a determination on that ordinary high? It takes 15 minutes if you can get them out there, but you won't know. I bring it up because we may have a potential encroachment in that shoreline buffer, and that's going to require an exception to the natural resource standards.
I don't recall what the ordinance is. What's the setback?
75 feet from the ordinary high water mark.
So, my suggestion is that somebody make a call quickly before the weather turns. The DNR will come out there. They'll make a determination, keep a mark, surveyed in, and then we'll know. Because if, in fact, there is an encroachment and you can't resolve it, it would require an exception, and that's another process to get through.
Alderman Dander, would you like to have a kick at the cat, since that's analogy of the day?
Yeah, now is the time. Well, we've been working with
Address, please.
Mark D'Andrea, 8041 South Meadow Creek Court, Franklin, Wisconsin, Alderman of 1st District. This area, this development is in my area. We've been probably going back and forth, Ken, now for over a year. The last time that we met was, Joel, about a month ago? And we had on phone conference Bob from Portland, and we were talking about a lot of the changes that are being mentioned today, and that I'm concerned that the renderings, if it gets a pass from this commission, that there's consistency in these renderings, because the Common Council is going to want to see what this project is going to look like. And we talked about the brick. Now, Commissioner Thinnes believes that you may not have to go all the way up on the corners. We talked about the roof line and making it a little bit more dramatic. The last thing I want to do is have an institutional look to this building that mimics Brentwood down the street. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to go the other way and make it look appealing. I don't want it to look like Scepter, those apartments that are back behind the Drexel by the Super America. This is your chance to incorporate some changes, and Bob, we've talked about these changes previously. If you're going to do it, you say, yeah, we're kind of struggling. Well, are we struggling because we're trying to make this financially fit within the footprint of the organization's goals? Well, tell us that, because if it doesn't financially fit your picture, we've got to know that, okay?
Yeah, may I address that issue?
Sure.
First of all, your own planner, the answer to that is unequivocally no. Second, your own planner at that conference suggested that we not add brick at those common decks, because it would not be aesthetically pleasing. Your own plan, your senior plan.
Okay.
This didn't come from us. We so it has nothing to do with the financial concern. The amount of brick that we are showing on there is purely aesthetic. When we looked at the side elevations, we looked at the looked at it in the three dimensions, we felt aesthetically it was superior to have the siding actually extend around the top, because it kind of ties the whole top together. So it has absolutely nothing to do at all with the financial concern.
Okay. Well, then these renderings, you had two colors. Now you're changing it back to one color?
No. I think that Alderman Susan Meyer brought that up, and she brought the color on the
white collar guy, but the white color's there. It's the first time you've seen elevations with white color. No, our intent is to use a 25-year a shingle with, it has a shadow line that is in a an earth tone color to match the to match the roofing that is there.
On the columns?
No, on the no, that's on the roof. Yes. On the columns themselves, there was a discussion of whether or not we. And I actually thought that Scott's comments were the best.
Yeah, you're going to have a banding along.
On how we would handle those columns, yeah. And I think Scott's comments were the best.
You are getting a bill for that.
It's got to be in by the 25th.
Now, are you? Is it going to be two tone or is it going to be one color? No,
it'll be one color because we always wanted the one color. We always wanted the one color. So yes, we'll do the one color on the.
And you're going to put banding in there.
Yes.
Or you'll put a vertical inlay of brick to separate.
No, we're going to try and follow Scott's recommendations.
Sill.
Well, not only that, but we prefer to use a tool joint as opposed to dry stack brick.
Okay.
And I think the way Scott articulated it, we thought was spot.
The audience loves.
Well, I'll allow Scott to talk or to offer his input. I mean, since we're having a general discussion, let's get some clarity, because the Common Council is going to want to see what this end product is going to look like. Okay, so we can't be going back to the Common Council if you're planning on hitting the agenda for that first week in November. Is that what you're targeting?
Well, one of the things you could do is you could add a condition to the approvals that you'd like to see,
They've got a lot of conditions in here, and sometimes conditions get missed. Okay, we would prefer to see as much to the finished product as possible, especially with how we can conceivably see what this is going to look like.
Well, I can appreciate that, but even at that meeting that we have, we agreed with your senior planner relative to the location of where brick may or may not be. I recognize that there may be some issues with where the brick may or may not be. I think that we can work this out with staff based on the comments that we particularly received from the planning commission.
And are you going to consider coining on the ends?
We would prefer, if we go full masonry, we would coin. If we, on the corners. If we don't go full masonry on the corner, we would prefer not to coin. Even though we've done it before, we recognize that it emulates a lot of what we have in the community. So we respect that. But I think it would work more effectively if it was three-story masonry related. But that's not a critical issue with us. With us either way, I mean, if it's a critical issue with anyone here, we would defer to them.
Well, and then I make sure that you work with Joel and Nick and make sure that it gets as close to the anticipated project that we're kind of assisting you to get to. Otherwise, we're going to have a tough time. And I know we talked about the wetlands area, and you spoke about delineation, but we're still not sure if we're at that point yet. So I don't want you. You've got to get that answer. I'm done with my questioning. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
The procedure here is recommendation from the commission goes to the council because it's an ordinance. Any other questions for you? I will just say that I get really nervous with 22 conditions and changes here and the drawings don't match.
addressing the study items as well as making a determination here about the high water as it relates to 75-foot setback.
With all due respect, the wetland was delineated on June 3rd of this year.
So there isn't the
ordinary high.
So then the ordinary high.
Ordinary high water.
I understand the ordinary high. Okay. However, the wetlands were delineated on June 3rd of this year.
Okay. All right. Let me clear the motion. Let me offer this, please. Thank you. Motion to table until such time as the applicant works with staff to incorporate the ordinance recommendations, the high water table, the architectural changes suggested this evening, and assure that the documents all match. Colors on the drawings, footprint of the building, get out that. So we can have wrapped up in a bow. It's probably going to be a 10-minute meeting. You don't need to fly in for it. I may look like an ogre, but I do understand.
No, I like the motion.
Is that motion clear?
And I stand corrected. It is delineated. Thank you.
Is that motion clear?
Yes, it is.
Any discussion? Is that the motion seconded?
Seconds.
A little slow on the trigger. Discussion. Commissioner Stennis.
Can you turn the drawings around in a pretty short period of time? I mean, is that?
Yes.
Because I agree with the fact we need to have the drawings updated to represent the things we talked about, make everything really clear to everybody exactly what it's going to look like and where things are going to be placed. And if you can do that in a reasonable, you know, time and your time, that would be great.
Commissioner Fowler.
And I understand the difficulties of trying to get some kind of amenity on that northwest or north side of the building. And if you could just put something like, maybe you might not be able to have a definitive plan in 2 weeks, but have at least an idea that you could bring to the Planning Commission, and that might be some conditional, like you're saying, that we would do something. But I understand that might be a little more difficult to put something in.
Alderman Mayer.
And I just need to verify, you want that because it's an amenity?
Yes.
Not because you have to have something that goes around the whole building?
No.
Because do those other buildings have sidewalks or whatever on the way?
Not all of them. Some do, some don't.
Okay.
And, staff, it would be our preference to have something all the way around the building, but we also understand it would be tight on that one corner. If it only went part way around, that would probably be okay. We would just insist that they have at least one sidewalk from their building, which they do.
And we're not trying to be difficult. What we're looking for is better. I don't have a definition. But what we're trying to do is make Franklin a community unique into itself. Its own identity, its own look and feel, its own sense, this is the planning term, its own sense of place. We're getting better. The first one was a disappointment. So, understand that Commissioner Fowler and I come from the same place. My father passed away 4 years ago. You know, he liked to walk before he passed away. He was in assisted living. He was in an independent apartment before that. So God bless Dave. His father's in the same spot now. So we come from experience, and Ken, I'm sure you know that. So we ask that you do what you can. Remember that the community sees this building from the back. And they see it often because it's right next to the post office. So make us proud. Don't make me have to hear from my wife. You guys laugh. I don't. And my wife will have her opinion. So do what you can. Let's wrap this up for 2 weeks. So there any other discussion?
I just want to ask a real quick question about, there's a note on here that says top of stormwater retention area with a dashed line on here. And I looked at the grading plan. It looks like it's grading down. Is that all? part of the construction of the retention pond, all the way up to, it's almost to the building. It only looks like it's about 3 or 4 feet away from the building.
We stay out of the top elevation for the pond, for the top, the 100-year elevation for the pond, but the grading for the pond continued beyond that, so we graded into that a little bit, but we didn't get into the 100-year elevation.
So this riprap area here, that's a spillover for the pond, right? So it's never going to, the water's never going to get up into this area. But you're going to have to deal with the slope of that area if you try to build some kind of a walkway out there.
Yes, sir.
One other thing. We did add an internal HVAC system, so that's an upgrade. I don't think there's a building out there that has it. So our units are internal. We have vent wells. There's no HVAC exposed. That was probably about a $50,000 hit. We did it for different reasons. One, it's a higher quality and higher efficiency. So we don't, all the men... Don't just make decisions based off of cost.
Okay.
The quality is important to us too, and your comments have always seen. Thank you so much.
Motion on table. There's a motion to table for the reasons stated. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. Not to see you until groundbreaking.
Thank you so much.
Item B, Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewerage District, the Green Solutions for Separate Infrastructure and Sewer Separation Project and Stormwater Best Management Practices Funding. Do we have anyone from MMSD here?
No.
Commissioner Fowler.
No, this is actually, I think Ron's got this.
Commissioner Romeis. Excuse me. City Engineer Romeis for another week now.
Okay.
It's just Mr. Fowler had, Commissioner Fowler had opportunity to talk to some staff about financial availability of funds to the city. He approached himself and planners to make sure that we have accounted for those funds, and indeed we have, usage and how we're going to use that money. We're not going to lose it. That's the point here. And we're now optimistically, we're proceeding with the sewer and water building, and we're going to incorporate porous pavement over the 18 employee stalls around back. We're going to put some biofiltration basins and swales and engineered soils, and then be able to use the GSSISS funds. And the stormwater best management practices, we have the ability by just a simple in-house transfer with Mr. Fogel.
Jerome, yes.
Talked to him weekly, and we're transferring money, then into the PPII. So we won't lose that money either. So the purpose of this for the Plan Commission is to notify us that we should continue to look at green infrastructure.
Yes.
And that we're utilizing the funds currently available for MMSD.
And
project availability. Commissioner Fowler.
If I could, Mayor, it's important because, frankly, we're lucky because most of the Franklin is a newer construction. Our stormwater system is in relatively good shape because it's newer. But we are going to age like everybody else. And if we start thinking proactive and the PPINI program and then these green seams or the green solutions program of coming up with progressive ways of dealing with stormwater by retaining it on property or getting it not to go into some type of gray infrastructure or a system that has to be maintained but actually get stronger because it's more of a natural sustainable system. I think it's just better for the communities to have some of those as examples so then when other private enterprises come in, they can see the cost savings and we can have maybe numbers to show them the cost savings by doing it this way instead of relying on gray infrastructure. The gray infrastructure being the storm sewers and stuff. So I think it's a good plan. And there will be a funding agreement at some point you'll have to ink with Kevin Chick.
I've done a lot of that this evening.
Been a lot of that. So.
I would suggest Mr. Robles is also
and I just want to give a hats off to Ron and Joel and Nick for putting this forward and getting it done. So thank you.
And thank you for bringing it up. Who else needs thanks? Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Suzanne. Nick? Motion to place on file?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Motion adjourned.
So moved.
Second. Discussion?
Wait, let's talk a little bit.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.
Welcome.